Today is September 9th, 1995.
Right.
I'm here with Dinah Safran in the Hebrew Home for the Aged in Riverdale. And as a background, Mrs. Safran came from Austria, was born in Austria, and in 1903, which makes you 92
right.
at this time. And you came to the United States in
1921. Christmas Eve, the 1920, Christmas Eve.
Ah.
But by the time I came here, we had a rotten ship, and it took a long trip. By the time I came here, and by the time I reached Ellis Island, it was already February the...
Oh, wow. February 1921.
The 5th. The ship arrived February the 5th to Hoboken. And then they didn't let us into Ellis Island because we were on the third class. My mother and I came here together. They didn't want to sell to Polish people the second class. The children here in America, the older children wanted to send tickets for second class. They didn't allow. They said, we have to come from the third class.
Why did they say that?
That was their rule. Because they didn't like the poor people. I don't know what it is. Only the middle class people came with second or first class. We had to come, and there were a lot of maybe 40 or 50 people with the third class. And they had a rotten ship, the Rindam. The name of the ship is Rindam. And it took a long trip. And finally, when we reached here, they stopped in Hoboken. And they didn't want to let us into Ellis Island. We had to stay on the ship all day, sleep at night outside in the Hoboken, and be in the ship all day until the ship had to leave for another trip. And then we remained in the Hoboken and we slept there on the floor and waited until we were able to come to Ellis Island.
Oh, boy. Well, let's start at the beginning about your life in Europe before you came, and then we'll get to the part about Ellis Island. Now, where were you born? In Tarnopol.
In Tarnopol,
and that's T-A-R-N-O-P-O-L.
Yeah.
Okay, now did you live in Tarnopol a whole time until you left?
All the time.
Okay, so then you must have been, how old were you when you left Tarnopol?
17.
Okay, now your mother's name? How do you spell her maiden name? Was that her married name?
You want the maiden name?
Yeah.
Because I came on the maiden name. Maiden name?
Yeah.
Because I came on the maiden name and her maiden name to America, because in those years, when anybody didn't get married in court, the children were illegal. Only the Jewish wedding, they didn't consider it a wedding. My father and mother never got married in court. So I was considered illegal, but my father signed on the paper that he takes the responsibility. So he made me legal.
I see. Now, so you had your mother's maiden name
yeah.
as your maiden name?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, how do you spell that?
Weckstein. Weckstein.
So that was
Weckstein.
Your mother's maiden name.
Yeah.
And your father's last name?
Was Barshak.
How do you spell that one?
B-A-R-S-H-A-K.
Okay.
Barshak.
Now, so did you ever have that name, Barshak?
I used it all the time.
But you never...
I never used the Weckstein,
oh.
only when I went to school. But then when I came out, I wanted my father's name.
I see, because then your father had signed that he would be responsible.
That I'm legal, yeah.
Yeah, I see. Okay, and what was your father's first name?
Manes. M-A-N-E-S. Manes.
Okay. And did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes.
How many?
We were 7 children. You see, my father was married before. He had 3 children when he met my mother. My mother was married when she was 18, and she lived 6 weeks with a man, and he died. He got sick with pneumonia, and he died. And my mother didn't even know that she was pregnant. But then it turned out that she was pregnant, and she had a little girl. So she was a young girl of 20, between 20 and 21, with a little girl. So she married my father, who was almost 20 years older than her, with 3 children. His 3 children, the older daughter, Rose, was 14 years old, and my mother was 20. So that was the difference. But my mother was a very kind and quiet person, and she got along well with the children. Later, my father decided that he wants to go to America. He left my mother with my brother, which was the first one from their marriage. He was only 2 years old. In his children, he tried to divide between their family, the first wife's family. But it turned out that they didn't like it, and they came back to my mother, and they said they want to live with her, even though it's hard for her, but they wouldn't mind, they'll do anything. They don't want to live with the others. They like my mother, and they want, and they stayed with us all the time. My mother was very good-natured person.
And so when your father first went to America, you weren't born yet?
Oh, no. My older brother was only 2 years old. And then he was here only 10 months in America, and he decided he didn't like it because he was a tailor. He used to work for himself. But here he had to go to a shop, and he didn't like the shop, and he didn't like the life, to be a boarder by somebody, the life like this. At home in Tarnopol, he had his own home, and he liked it better, and he missed my mother, of course, and so he came back from America. Then my sister was born, the one that my nephew is taking an interest in me now.
Now, what was that sister's name?
She was already, her name is Goldie, and she was 4 years younger than my brother, because my father went away and then came back, so she was 4 years younger than the brother. After Goldie was born another child, that was Fanny. And Fanny was 7 years older than I was. I wasn't supposed to be all together because my father was getting old. He was already almost 58 years old when I was born. And he felt terrible. He was ashamed at his age to have another child. But accidents happened, and I was the accident. And he gave the, you know who a shamus is in the shoe? In the shoe. The one that takes care of the shoe, he gave him a dollar to give me the name because he was ashamed to go into the shoe and to give me the name. That's how bad he felt when I was born. And luck would have it, I grew up. I was a very small and tiny child until I was 14. I remember when I went the first day to school, I was a very shy and little girl. And I sat down in the last row. So the teacher came in to start seeing her pupils. And she looks around and she's a little bit of a thinker sitting there. And that was me. She goes over to me. She says, "Why are you sitting here?" I said, "I don't know." She gives me a kiss on my forehead. And she says, "Come." And she puts me in the first row. I was so small that all the children were taller than I was, and anybody would block me that would sit in front of me. So, and then I turned out that I had a good mind, and I was very well liked by the teacher, and I was learning very good, and I used to have good marks, and every time I used to send to America to the older children, they little by little the children started to leave for America. And they you used to send me a gift when I sent him the report card with the good mark. You used to send me a gift. My father bought me earrings and other things because they liked. Before the war started, I've just finished public school. The children wrote that my father should sell the house or give it away if he can't sell it, and come away if he can't sell it, and come to America and bring me to America, because they think they can make something of me and not that sewing girl, because the other sisters learned how to sew and they were dressmakers. And with my head, they wanted me to go to school.
The children that were in America, now with the children that were in America, they were the ones that were from your father's first marriage, the oldest three?
Three.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And where were they in America?
And then there was the one that my nephew, his mother, she was already also in America. And then later, the last one went. When the war started, I was the only one left with my father and my mother. All the children were in America.
What do you remember about Tarnopol, about the town itself? What was it like? Was it?
It was a very nice. It was about 40,000 people living. It was a big city, beautiful streets, and nice stores and movies, theater. It was a very nice city. In fact, is when the war broke out and the Russians came in. Soon as the war broke out, they came in and they liked the city so much that the officers brought their wives to live there.
Oh. Now, was there a Jewish section in that city?
Oh, sure.
What was
my father belonged to the shul. He had his own seat for himself and my mother. And he was a real, what you say in Jewish, a balabus. He was well known and he was a very clever man. People used to come for advice for certain things. He could have been a lawyer. He had a very good head. But he became an orphan when he was 6 years old. And he was brought up by an uncle. And he had to learn how to sew. And he couldn't go to school anymore.
Now, was he born in Tarnopol too?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And your mother also?
Yes. Uh-huh. They were all from Tarnopol.
Yeah.
Yeah. My father's parents were in Hungary. They were born in Hungary, but they came to Tarnopol. Yes. And that's where my father was there.
Can you remember any experiences with your father when you were a little girl?
Oh, sure. My father, first he was ashamed that I was born. And then he took a liking to me. He used to teach me how to read storybooks. He used to tell me all kinds of stories. And I had my oldest sister, that was the oldest sister from my father's first wife. And she had a little girl that was 2 months younger than I was. So when he went someplace, he took the two of us. And everybody used to ask him if they're his grandchildren. They considered me as a grandchild. And so he used to laugh. He said, no, she is my Mazinki. You know what a Mazinki is? The youngest child. And I don't know how they express it in English. The youngest child, have they got a name for it in English?
I can't think of.
No, in Jewish it was a Mazinki. That was the youngest. The youngest, and he took a liking to me, and he taught me how to read a lot. And then, of course, I went to school anyway.
What were you reading in? What
language? First, he used to teach me how to read Jewish. And then I took a rabbi to teach me Hebrew. But he used to read Jewish books, so he taught me how to read. The Jewish reading is different than the Hebrew.
Now, what's the difference between Yiddish and Jewish?
Yeah.
Is Yiddish and Jewish
Yiddish
the same?
And Jewish is the same.
Same, uh-huh.
Yeah, Jewish is English and Yiddish is in Jewish. And that's what it is.
Uh-huh.
So he used to like me and he used to... But what I wanted to finish when they wrote that he should bring me to America, and he said at his age, he was 58 years old when I was born, so he was already 68 years old because I was 10 and a half years old. He said, when at his age, and when he'll come to America, and nobody will give him a job, and the children will have to support him, and he doesn't want that. He wants to make his own living, and he didn't want to go. And I graduated, was in May, and in June it broke out, the war.
What do you remember of the war, personally?
Like it was yesterday. All of a sudden it started to shoot. One of my other sisters was a married woman. She had five children, and she was the only one remained in Europe. The others were all in America, and her husband went to America not even a year before. You know, he thought that he'll be in America, he'll be able to bring her up with the children to America. And he didn't have a chance because the war broke out. But he was lucky anyway that he was in America, because they would have taken him to the army. So this way, at least, he was in America. But she remained living in Tarnopol. First, she had her own home. Then she couldn't afford to keep it, and she moved in with my father and my mother and me, with all the five children she had. The youngest was 1 year old when I was 11. He was 10 years a difference between the... But the oldest one was 1 year younger than I was.
I see.
So we lived all together like that.
Now, was your father... He was sewing?
Yeah.
He was a tailor at that
time,
too?
Yeah. But when the war started, how many people wanted new clothes? And they had to worry for food and other things, so my father couldn't make a living anymore.
So what did you do?
And I was only not even 11 years already when it went on the war a few months. So I was 11 years old. So I started to work. I used to make paper bags. I used to paste envelopes, anything I could get a hold of. And then I went in once to a friend of mine's house, and I saw they are working on cigarettes. So I tried to help them to make cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And I liked the idea of working with the cigarettes. So that girl didn't let me. The idea is she didn't let me. So as young as I was, only 11 years old, maybe 2-3 months more than 11. So I went myself in one of the streets where there were a lot of stores. And I ran in and asked if anybody wants I should make cigarettes. So one man that had a store there, he asked me my name. He gave a look at me. I was a small, thin little girl. He gave a look at me, and he says, "You know how to make cigarettes?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Let's see." And he took me inside in the store. He took some tobacco and the tubes, and he showed me. And I made a few of them. He said, "What's your name?" And I tell him. As soon as he heard my father's name, my father was well known, popular, and he was respected, very much respected. So he said, "All right, I'll give you home to make, I think he'll pay 40 cents Russian kopecks," because it was Russia already that time. "He'll pay me for 1,000 cigarettes to make 40 kopecks." So I took it and I came home and I showed my father how to make it too. And I showed my nephew, the sister that lived with me also, and we all made a living from the cigarettes. And my father used to say, "What would he have done without me? If not me, I am supporting him." And he trusted me whenever he had some money to put away or something. He didn't trust my mother. She might buy something. He didn't want her to spend it. So he trusted me more even than the mother. And it turned out that he said, "What would he do without me?" So I was born with a purpose. That's all.
Yeah. How did you live? How did you? What did you do for food and everything?
Well, my mother used to cook and buy stuff, of course. Once a week we had a piece of meat. Otherwise, she used to make dairy meals mostly, which was cheaper, anything that was cheaper, and we all lived that way. Then across the street was an empty apartment, so my sister took it, rented it with the children because we were so crowded all the time. And so they lived in that apartment across from us, and she used to work. She also was a good dressmaker. If she could make some dresses, if not, she worked with the cigarettes and supported herself with the children. She struggled plenty. We all struggled, and that's how, but we had years. We lived through it. Then the Germans came. After 3 years, they finally, the Russians didn't want to leave our city. Every place else, they chased them out, but not from our city. They liked it, and they were comfortable there.
And what were they like in your experience, having the Russians in the city?
Oh, over there, at least there was more food to eat. The Russians, yeah, but over there we had more food, and we weren't afraid of them. Of course, if a girl was older, used to send me out first to see if a soldier isn't going. They were afraid to trust the soldiers. They didn't want to take no chances, but I wasn't afraid. I was a little bit of a think. Nobody was bothered with me. So I had a break that way.
Can you talk a little bit about how the borders changed and any effects that had on you?
Nothing at all. I lived with it. I used to, when I grew up a little, I used to go to dances and I used to go to parties. I used to go to a movie. And we lived like any normal person. And what we didn't eat as elaborate as the richer people, that's all. But we grew up and we were all right, and that's all. And that's how we lived. Then the Germans came in. So I had a girlfriend that was my size. So one German soldier just saw us both walking. That time we were already, I was already, I think, starting to grow up, 14 or 14 and a half years old. So he started to measure us, the size, that we look alike. We used to dress alike. And so we didn't like it. We ran away and we left him there. We didn't want to bother him. And we lived like that until after the Germans were chased out from the Polish. The Polish came. Then it started trouble because there wasn't enough food. The Russians had a lot of food, and they didn't have. So they started to ration. So we had to support ourselves. I remember once when they rationed us potatoes. So I picked up, I went, my father was already too old to go to get the potatoes. A sack of potatoes, about 50 pounds or 100 pounds, who knows, a big sack. So I used to go and whatever they had to ration, I used to buy it. And I used to go to the drugstore, whatever we had to buy. Everything he sent me instead of he should go. Once I picked up a sack of potatoes and I sprained my back. I was laid up for a while and I suffered on the back all the years from it. Oh, uh-huh. That was my present from the war.
What about medical care? Can you think of any kind of illness that struck and how it was treated over there?
I had all the sicknesses. I had mumps and I had scarlet fever. I had measles. And I lived through them. My mother tended to me, and that's how we lived.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any any kinds of rituals, like around marriage or birth or death? Any kinds of ways that these things were observed when you were little?
They used to make weddings. People used to get married and they lived a normal life. It was only with different kind of a government, but otherwise the life went on the same thing.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Did you encounter anti-Semitism there?
No, nobody bothers us.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah.
We used to have, I remember my father paid a few cents a Gentile woman to come Saturday to light the fire, because he was religious and he wouldn't light it on Saturday. So she used to come and she used to light it. And my mother used to give away the wash to a Gentile woman every few weeks. Small things she washed herself, but the bigger things she gave away. And it was no anti-Semite, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was all right. It was a normal life.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. What is your fondest memory of your childhood, of growing up there?
Nothing at all. Nothing indifferent. Mm-hmm. I was not any normal child.
Uh-huh. But you were particularly good in school, it sounds
like. Yeah. Yeah, I had a very good mind in school. And I once won in school a box of candy for spelling, because the teacher said whoever will spell will get a box of candy. So I was the one that won the box of candy.
Do you remember the word you had to spell that made you the winner?
No. No. Okay. No. Mm-hmm. Now the teacher used to like me a lot. She used to make me bring her books and all that. I was well liked in school and I never had any trouble. I was a very shy and quiet girl. I was a bashful type.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. In fact, is the one that I became good friends with over here. I have her mother used to call me in to play with her little girl because I was ashamed to walk into there in somebody's house. I was so bashful.
Mm.
She used to call me in and she wanted me to be friends with her girl. And we became such a good friends. We grew up together. We went to dances together. And then we came to America. But she came a few months after me. And we over here, we kept our friendship all the time. And her children, I didn't have any children. Her children were growing up on my hands. And they call me my second mommy.
All now, is she alive today?
No, she died 5 years ago.
And what was her name?
Her name was Pauline. And here she is.
Well, tell me.
You see?
Uh-huh.
With her husband.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, can you remember some of the things you did together when you were growing up? You played games or what you did?
We went to dances.
Uh-huh.
Sure, but I used to work anyway because we had to eat.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then we used to go out and we went to movies, we went to dances. We started playing around, boys and girls together. We always like a community. Any normal child, like over here they do.
When did you start thinking that you'd like to go to America?
As soon as my father died. My father died. You see, they send us from America matzahs for Passover. And instead of it should come, it didn't come to Passover because the mail was very slow. So my father used to joke and say, it'll probably come for Shavuos. You know what Shavuos is? 6 weeks after Passover. And then all of a sudden, one day on a Saturday, the day before Shavuos, he started feeling bad. He was only 74 years old. And he said to my mother, he came back from shul, and he said to my mother, make my bed because I think my time came. That was the expression he made. Of course, she made his bed, and then she called the doctor. And the doctor asked if he was sitting in the sun a lot or if he was in the Turkish bath. And he was in the Turkish bath. He went the day before the holiday to the Turkish bath. And he used to brag that he can stand the heat. You know, in a Turkish bath, the higher they go, the harder it is. And all the men used to go down. They, it was too hot for them, and he used to brag that he can take it longer. So he got a stroke from the Turkish bath. And 2 days later, you know, came the matches. My mother says, look, you were right. You said it'll come for 3 years. Here it's 3 years, just 3 years. The matches came, but he didn't already understand anything, and the next day he was dead. He died the day after 3 years.
Do you remember his funeral and everything?
Sure.
What was that like?
The same as any other funeral.
Same as here?
Same as here, same okay. thing. Uh-huh. We had our cemetery there. Later I sent money to, they should put a tombstone for him, because I left for America, he didn't have no tombstone yet. And as soon as he died, I wrote a letter that father passed away, so the children came and went and bought tickets for us.
For your mother?
Mother and me. Uh-huh. My sister with the 5 children had to wait until her husband sent her tickets. Mm-hmm. And her husband wasn't too much in a hurry. He lived here a good life. He was also a tailor, but a very good one, and he held a good position. And so he wasn't such a hurry to bring her up with the children. But the other children contributed the money to us to send them out, because he said he can't afford 6 people, you know. But it took a few months before she came after me. She looked, I looked on her back, if she didn't become a hunchback. She looked so shriveled up in those 5 months that she was alone with the 5 children struggling, that it was an unusual difference in a person to change in a short time. This is what I remember very well.
Yeah. Do you remember you and your mother getting ready to leave? And leaving?
Yeah, and we decided, you know, when we made out the passport and everything. So we decided that we want to go as soon as possible, so that we don't want to wait for my sister, because we'll start waiting for her. They send us $100 for expenses to go to America, and they send us the tickets, but $100, but they were foolish here. They didn't send it that they should pay us the $100, only what the value of the dollars are. And it was about only $30. And we didn't have enough money. And I said, if I'll start waiting for my sister, I will eat up the money, we wouldn't have nothing. And so my mother left everything to me. She was very timid, quiet, and whatever I said, it'll go. So we decided to go. So it came out, they gave us a visa for just Christmas Eve. So one of my father's cousins came to us and gave us an argument. Why are you going to leave on Christmas Eve? Why can't you wait until Betty will get ready too? So I said, no, we are leaving now, and I can't help it any other way. And sure enough, we left. So we packed up our bundle, and we took the train. And you know what? One of the soldiers came into the train and took my bundle and threw it out the window. He wanted a seat.
What and kind I of a soldier was this? What?
A Polish.
Polish soldier.
So I had to get off the train and pull in back the bundle. And finally, I sat down with my mother on a different seat in the train, and we went to Warsaw. We had to go to Warsaw first for the other visa. I had to go for a German visa, a different kind of visa, not only a Polish. So the German consulate started talking to me, and he asked me certain things in German, and I answered him. I spoke a very good German, and I used to read German books. I used to write German letters to the children. So the consulate there was excited, and a half hour he was sitting and talking to me in German. He said, it's the first time he called me a Polish girl. I wasn't Polish, But he called me a Polish girl. A Polish girl should speak such a good German. He couldn't get over it.
Now, why did you have to go through the German council? Because now the country was Polish, right?
Yeah.
But how come the German?
Because we had to go to Holland, America. He had to go through Holland. We went to Berlin first, and then to Holland. It was a long trip. It took us 3 weeks, the trip, until we finally came to Holland. And then we had to wait for that rotten ship that we got.
And well, you know, it sounds like you were, you said you were shy and timid, but it also sounds like you knew how to take charge.
I could take in charge of everything. I could be a responsible person. That's why my father started depending on me, because he saw with me he can get along better than the others. Didn't bother as much. They were different. They lived their own lives, and I always took care of them. I was very devoted to my mother, because if my father wanted to punish me sometime as a child, my mother used to protect me. And if I asked sometimes a penny for a candy or something, and my father didn't want to give it to me, my mother gave it to me on the sly. So that's what it made a difference.
Yeah. So tell me about the Rindam, the ship that you got.
Yeah, well, the ship we had, it was right underneath, and you know how a ship is built, on the bottom of the ship. Each red was so big and ran over the people. It was terrible. And I became seasick the minute the ship started to move. My mother wasn't seasick, and I was seasick the whole time. The sailors used to come in to clean out the... They couldn't pull me off the bed to clean out. It was terrible. My mother thought she'll bring me there to America. It took me so long. It was 13 days on the ship, and I couldn't hold my head up. It was impossible. I had to go to the toilet. I couldn't move. It was terrible. And I went through hell until finally the ship stopped. So they started saying, didn't let us off. They said that some people said they'll send back the ship with the people on the Teuter class. I said, I'll drown myself. I don't want to go back to Europe, and I don't care what they do. I'm not going back. And I remained there, but they didn't send us back anyway. And I stayed there and waited so long until finally they let us into Ellis Island. And when they let us into Ellis Island, my mother, they looked into her eyes, so she started to complain. So the doctor sent her, the one that looked into the eyes, sent her to a doctor to see if it's something wrong with the eyes, because when anybody had bad eyes, they didn't let them into America. Did you know that?
Yes.
So they sent her to a doctor to make sure that her eyes are all right. My eyes were all right. So they sent her away to see the doctor, and they sent me in to the room in Ellis Island where they interview the people that have to get off the ship. So I came in crying, and I was standing there and crying. So I see some man stands there and talks to the inspector that was sitting there that was supposed to interview me. And he goes over and he talks to him something. And then he says, later I knew what, but with that time I didn't know. So then he says with his hand like this, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. I says, what the hell does that man want from me? It's his business if I want to cry. I felt terrible. Then it turned out it was my brother. And he recognized me because I look exactly like the other sister. And when they used to see her later...
Which sister is that?
Huh?
Which sister did you look just like?
The one on this side.
What was her name?
Fanny.
Fanny.
She was 7 years older than I was. And when I came to this country, I was 17 years old, and she was already... a married woman with a child of 3 years old. And I looked exactly like her. Now you can imagine how I grew up in the last 3 years. From 14 to 17 was such a change in me. And he was wondering when the door, my brother told me later, when the door opened and I walked in, he said, "What's Fanny doing here?" He couldn't imagine that it was me, because he knew I'm a small child. He said when he came to America, the only child he missed was me. I was 2.5 years when he left for America, because he says I was an unusual child, very talkative and joking and all that. He liked me a lot. He missed me more than anybody else when he went to America. How do you like that?
Which brother was that? What was
his name? He became a doctor later. That was the first one that was 2 years old when my father went to America.
And what was his name?
His name was Max Barshak. His Jewish name was Moshe. Mm-hmm. And here he called himself Max. Later when I showed my mother, "Mama, this is Moshe," she gave a look. She says, "No, that's not him." She didn't recognize. He left a young boy of 17. See, we were 14 and a half years a difference. I was 2.5. So she didn't recognize him. I said, "Mama," I spoke to him, "it's Moshe." She couldn't believe it. Then he comes over to her. She says, "Mr. Givornip," says he became fat. He was a doctor already, and he was married and had a little girl already of 18 months when I came here. Mm-hmm. So
he recognized you because you looked like Fanny.
Like,
and then what happened at Ellis Island?
And then they told me that by the time they... So, yeah, another man comes over to me and he says, "Don't cry." I said, "That man keeps on telling me," he says, "don't worry, that's her brother. And don't worry, he means well, but he'll bring mother back to you, don't worry." But then finally, that inspector called me over, because my brother spoke to him again, called me over. He says, "Dina?" I said, "Yeah, Moshe." I'm telling you, I couldn't imagine, Moshe. He says, "Why do you cry?" You know, in Jewish. I said, "They took my mother away and I can't understand why." He says, "Don't worry. They only took her to the eye doctor and she'll come back. But it's too late already today to get you off the Ellis Island because it's after 4. Until 4, they let out the people. After 4, they wouldn't let you out. So you have to wait till tomorrow morning. You'll have to sleep over in Ellis Island." So I had to sleep over with my mother in Ellis Island. They gave us 2 bunks and 1 little blanket. I put it on the blanket on the bunk, and I had my winter coat because it was winter when I came here. I had a winter coat and my mother her winter coat. We covered ourselves and we slept like that. And in the morning they gave us breakfast.
What was that like?
Huh?
What was the breakfast like?
Yeah, something different that I didn't eat. They gave a grapefruit or a orange to us. In the morning, I never had that. You know, so they had a cereal and a coffee. And to me, it was a delicious good breakfast. And my mother was also not complaining. She was surprised that they give so much food to eat. And then 10 o'clock, my brother came. So when I saw him come in, I said to my mother, "Mama, this is Moshe." She couldn't believe it. But when he spoke to her, she realized that he grew up and he changed. He was a young boy and he was slim when he left for America, a young 17-year-old boy. And here he was already, I think, 31 years old. And married, and a little girl of 18 months. And it turned out that they let us off from Ellis Island. So then they decided that being my father isn't here anymore, is no use to fixing up a home for us. So I can live with one sister, and my mother can live with another sister. So they took my mother to the sister, the one that my nephew is coming here, comes here all the time. And me, they took to that Fanny. But she happened to have a husband that wasn't a good-natured person. Nobody in the family cared for him. And I stayed with him, and I was separated from my mother, which I didn't like, because I loved my mother very dearly, and I didn't want to be without her. And she didn't complain anything. What could she do? They told her to stay with the daughter, so she used to help. She had a little girl, 6 months old. She's the picture there. She used to help her with the diapers and do all these things, and she didn't complain. So I couldn't understand why they did that, but my brother-in-law kept on complaining. Why did they have to send her to me? They had to put up, they only lived in 3 rooms, that they had to put up a folding bed for me to sleep, and he complained. So, and I understood, and I didn't like it, and I complained to my brother, and I told him that I don't like to stay with him, and I do something. So he spoke to my older brother. The older brother, he was the one from the first wife. Mm-hmm. And he was married, and he had a wonderful woman, a wife. And they didn't have no children either. And they helped my brother become a doctor. And they were very close all the time. So he told that brother about me. He said, let her come to me. I can't stay by Fanny, so they took me to, later it turned out, for a while I stayed with them, but then it turned out that it's no good. So one of the older sister, the one that had a little girl 2 months younger than I was, she lived downtown. And she had on 2nd Street an apartment there, and downstairs lived a superintendent, a Jewish couple. And the Jewish couple had 7 children, and she was the superintendent from that building. I even remember the number 116 East 2nd Street. That's where she lived. And she, the landlord, gave her another apartment she should have where the children should sleep. So she rented out 2 rooms from the other apartment, a kitchen and a dining room. So my sister said, I should rent it, and I grabbed it right away, I think $10 a month, and I was glad. I went to work here, and I paid ready the rent.
What did you do for work?
My brother recommended me. He was a doctor, so he had a patient that has a factory from a silk, winding machines, all kinds of, so I became a winder. First by wool and then by silk.
It's so interesting. You could keep talking. Okay, so you had the job with a winder
yeah.
In a silk factory.
Yeah.
And so then you took the 2 rooms.
Yeah.
Just you
and I lived with my mother until later we got a better apartment. We changed. It was a 2-room apartment also. But it had a toilet. The other one, I had to go in the hall in the toilet. But this was, and it was already $21 a month, and I could afford already. So we took that better.
Was that in the Lower East Side?
Yeah, on Rivington Street.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we moved there. And I lived there until I got married with my mother.
Oh.
And then I took my mother to me to where when I got married.
How did you meet your husband?
I belonged to a club, and a lot of our town of Paula people got together and they organized a club. And when they saw me, they called me in to become a member with them. So I was active there with them. I was president, I was vice president, I was always active. Even though I was a shy type, it turned out different. So we lived together. And then my mother lived with me for over 21 years.
What was life like in the Lower East Side when you first
came? Very comfortable and lively. I used to go out. My sister used to complain. You grab downtown, you're over, you don't want it. They lived in the Bronx. And they all wanted me to come. And I wasn't in a hurry to go to the Bronx. I was busy. I wanted to go dancing. I wanted to go to the club. We were always active. We used to make balls. We enjoyed ourselves. That's how I met my husband. But when he wanted to go out with me, I made one proposition. I can go with you on one condition. What is that? Only if my mother can live with us. Otherwise, I don't want to start up because I don't want to leave my mother. He said he's satisfied, and he was all right.
And what was your husband's name?
Boynard Saffron, but they called him Benny Saffron.
Now, was he also coming from...
He came from Lemberg. That was a bigger city than Tarnopol. It was the main city from us, from the Galicia.
Oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, and he was a very nice man.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. When we went... There, that's him.
Oh.
We went to Los Angeles once. We were on the airplane. A man got sick. So the stewardess ran over to my husband and asked him if he's a doctor. They needed a doctor. That's how he looked like a doctor, but he was a plumber. So I made fun of him. I said, yeah, you're a doctor from the toilets.
So so what happened then? Was your husband a plumber when you first met him?
Yeah, sure. But he didn't work that time. He worked for somebody else. But later he got a license and he worked for himself.
Uh-huh.
That was different.
Now, did you stay in the Lower East Side for many years?
No. As soon as I got married, I took up an apartment right away in the Bronx. Four rooms near my sister. We lived one near another, and I lived there for many years in the Bronx.
And did you work after you were married?
No. First, I didn't. Later, I don't know what had happened, something. They gave me a present from me. I gave up the job and all that. But later, it was the depression started or something.
The depression?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I had to go to work. My husband felt terrible. He said he didn't get married, I should support him. But we couldn't help it, so I went to work for a while. But I worked in a factory where they made belts, some different things. But I had to make something.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through plenty in my life. But I met everything with courage, and that's all I can tell you.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything else about the depression time?
There's plenty to remember. What do you want to know?
Well, did your life change much during that time?
Well, in a little. It was very hard. My husband wanted to get a job out of the town and not where we lived, in the Bronx. I didn't let him. I said, we'll struggle together. But he didn't want me to go to work. I said, look, it's only for a while. Things will change. Eventually, it did change. And we did. He never left any place.
Mm-hmm.
We lived together all the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the fact that you came here as a 17-year-old young lady, I guess, and lived the rest of your life here, do you think... The fact that you immigrated into a new country, do you think that made a big difference in you as a person?
I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
I was always like myself, and I just tackled whatever was necessary, and that's all.
Yeah. What makes you feel very satisfied that you've done in your lifetime? What makes you feel good that you've
managed? Well, that I didn't commit any crime. And I didn't go anything in the wrong place. I didn't, and if I could ever, my husband and I were both the type, we could anybody help, we helped. We had 8 cars in our lifetime. And whenever we went someplace, we never went with an empty car. We always took along people. Whenever we went here, there is a picture we made an affair I was active. Either I was a president or arranged a banquet and all that. I had led a very nice, comfortable life. Mm-hmm. And I was always, when I became a citizen, April the 1st, 1926, I became a citizen. The judge spoke to me a few words and then he asks me, "Do you like America?" I said, "I should say I do." He left. And that's all. And that was the truth. I sure do like America. I said, as long as I live, I don't care to make a trip to Europe. I went to Los Angeles, I went to different parts of here, but never outside of America. I said, this is my home and I want America. And I'm always happy in America.
How about your mother? How did she feel about America?
My mother liked it very much too, but she only wanted to be with me. When she was sometime a few days by her sister, she was glad that she's back home with me. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to be with me all the time. Mm-hmm. She died, she was 86 years old.
And how about this phase of your life? How do you feel about this phase, your old age time?
This time I'm not satisfied. I don't like to be that old, and I'm sorry that I reached that age. I would rather die than to live this. And I'm comfortable here. It's a nice home and all that, but I'm not happy. Uh-huh. I don't like that life. There are people here that are 8, 10, 12 years. I don't know how they... I couldn't take it. Mm-hmm. It's not in me.
Do you make friends here? I mean, do you find people?
It's very hard. Very hard. Most of them are deaf. You can't talk to them. Very hard to associate with somebody. I have some people by the table. One is keeps on. She has earplugs all the time with the ears, and the other one is it's always something wrong. I don't like it. That's all I know.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you want to say about coming here, being American?
No. I'm only lucky that I have that nephew. He is one of the most wonderful people in the world. He's got two sons and a daughter. The daughter lives in Israel, and the two sons are here. Yesterday, they both called me up. Every week they call me to wish me a good Shabbos and all that. They are religious. Mm-hmm. They are religious. And I used to be religious. I was brought up. My father was religious. But since it was with Hitler, with all the trouble, and they let so many Jews kill and all that, I stopped being religious. I liked kosher meals. I wanted to come here because I wanted kosher. But I don't like their meals anyway. But the thing is that it was no good. I got mixed up already.
You were saying with the whole thing with Hitler, stopped being religious.
So I stopped being religious. And I never ate any ham or all that, and that's what it is. But I don't believe there is a God. If there was a God, he couldn't let happen what it happened. Mm-hmm. I stopped believing. And that was it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just what is your nephew's name?
Hyman Stein.
Okay. Uh-huh. And he has children.
He has most wonderful children. He's got 10 grandchildren. Yeah. And they are all unusually nice people. And I'm very happy about it. He has one sister that was 6 months old when I came to this country. She was just now 75 years old. She talks to me over the phone, but I'm here such a long time already, she didn't even find the time to come to see me once. And my nephew comes twice, three times a week.
Okay.
He is such a wonderful person.
Wow, good. Okay, well, I want to just close off here. I've been talking with Dinah Safran, and today is September 9th, 1995, and I want to thank you very much for a very interesting interview.
You found it interesting?
I certainly did.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And the way you say things is very interesting,
yeah,
too.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. So what...